And praise for that. So I try to be a man of my word as often as I can. And I'm not a betting man, but some things my pride doesn't take very well. So because I bet my own pride and ego to announce this in front of the church, I just have to let you know, a couple weeks ago I was challenged to a competition. A competition which involved a basketball, which I cherish very well, and a seventh going on eighth grade girl. And Cadence Gibson beat me in a game of horse 2 weeks ago. Don't clap already, because it didn't just happen once, it happened twice. For crying out loud, there we were at the Gibson Foundation, and it was the last shot, and I said, you know what, if you beat me, I'll announce it in front of the whole church that I lost to you. And as soon as I was about, you know what happens when you get old, your body just, it doesn't work as well. The elbow, it just kind of popped real fast, which altered the shot just a tad. It went in and out, and I lost the game, and I had to get up here in front of you and tell you that I did beat Blake Meese 11-1, one-on-one a few months ago, but Cadence Gibson did put it to me on a game of horse. Now, as that said, as I promised her I would do, and I forgot the last 2 weeks, maybe I was putting it off in the back burner, hoping she would forget, but as I preached all last week, is the first thing she said after church, did you forget? Did you forget? You were supposed to say it. You were supposed to say it. So I said it. And at this time, all of our kiddos are going to go downstairs. And if you have kids or husbands that you think should go down, send them down. Everyone else, open up your Bible to Luke chapter 9. So Luke chapter 9, if you have your Bible, turn there. If you have your smartphone, open it up. And for those of you who have been here the last few weeks, you've gotten pretty familiar with this verse. We've opened up to this particular verse now 4 weeks. And what we've been doing is we've been going through this verse, breaking it down, you know, phrase by phrase or even word by word at times, to truly dig into what Jesus is saying. We've continued in our book, Not a Fan, written by Kyle Idleman, and we've been preaching through that book. And in the middle of this 15-week series, we've been in this particular passage for 4 weeks now. And let me just kind of recap what we've gone through in these 4 weeks. And today is kind of the grand finale, if you will, of this particular passage. Now, the next 3 weeks would kind of go along with the last two words, but we're not going to go back to this text. But the next 3 weeks will be all about following in different places, times, events, and different people. But what we've done is we've done in week one, we discussed the first two words there when Jesus said, if anyone. And what we did is we broke down this invitation to follow Jesus is truly for anyone, for everyone. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how broken you feel. It is for anyone. It is for everyone. And I took the word anyone, I broke it down into two words. If you remember, I said it was for anyone. The 99, you know, the shepherd left the 99 for the one, and Jesus left his heavenly throne for that one, and for that one, and for this one, and for the, you know, all of these ones, and how we should take the gospel to everyone. The next phrase that we discuss would come after me, and how this was oftentimes referred to in a marital relationship, how one spouse would passionately pursue the other. And it was a time that we discussed how Jesus should be our number one top pursuit, all of our lives, all about him, running after him with all that we are and all that we have. Last week we went into let him deny himself. And last week, I remember mentioning that I think self-denial may be the biggest obstacle to following Jesus. Because I like to live for me. Anybody else? I mean, we like to live for us. We like to live for our cravings, our wants, our desires, our future, our time, our money, our this, our that. So that command to let him deny himself, as the Bible says there, isn't just a denial of Sunday morning. Instead of going golfing, shopping, sleeping, whatever people do on Sunday morning, instead of going to church, it's not a denial of just doing that to where I can be there to worship on Sunday morning, but it is literally a denial of self, of ourselves completely. It is all about him. Nothing is about me. This world wasn't created for me, from me. It's not for my glory. Everything that I do should bring God glory. Every thought that I have, every action I carry out should bring him glory. And whenever we truly deny ourselves, we develop this discipline to live for him in all times, at all times, through all times, with all people, and in all things. We live for him. If we aren't bringing him glory, we're literally just kind of slapping him in the face whenever we live for us. And this week we get to finish it up with take up his cross daily and follow me. So the whole phrase is, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. And this week we get to keen in on this last part. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and say, as we begin this thing, this is an intriguing command. It is. You know, it's intriguing, it's interesting, and we'll kind of get there. But let me just ask, does anybody have jewelry on this morning where you have a cross? Maybe it's earrings, necklace, you know, watch, any kind of jewelry, rings, anything. Just raise your hand if you do. I just want to see it. So we got some people who have, so we got some crosses all over. Now, if you have a shirt on this morning with a cross, huh? Well, that's a good point, Adam. I'm glad you have a shirt on, all right? But if you have a shirt with a cross on this morning, does anybody have any kind of clothing today with a cross on it? We got one right there. Now, what about anybody have something at home with a cross on it? We could probably all raise our hand, right? We all have some sort of clothing. Now, what about anybody have a wallet, phone case, you know, Bible case, handbag? Anybody have one of those that has a cross on it? Jared, the cross, you got it? You got a tat? Okay, anybody got a cross tattoo? Anybody got a cross tattoo? No? Okay, just Jared. That's all right, Jared. But how about this? Anybody have any home decor with a cross on it? We probably, most of us have something with a cross, right? Screensaver, pictures, home decor, clothing. You know, and if you were to look right behind me, you would see a beautiful cross made by our very own Kenny Charbonneau. If you were to walk through the big double doors heading into the sanctuary, as you leave out of these two doors, you'll see a cross on each door, just on the wall there. If you walk into my office just back here, you'll see a cross in there. If you walk into the foyer back here, this little rear foyer, whatever we want to call that, there's a cross in there too. If you walk across the parking lot into the other building, you'll see that there's a cross in there as well. If you walk into my house, you will see that there is a cross in there as well. There's a cross everywhere. I actually brought one with me. Like, we love the cross, do we not? I mean, like, if this isn't the most joyful thing that you see, I don't know what will, because this is the cross of Jesus Christ, well, representative of the cross of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it brings us victory, it brings us joy. And the reason that this command to pick up our cross daily was so intriguing when Jesus said this was because we have to understand the context in which Jesus is speaking here. The people in Jesus' time, the only time they would picture a cross, guess what it would be? It would be death. There would be people hanging on them. So anytime they saw a cross, it was either someone carrying the cross to be hung on or someone on the cross. So the cross to them, when Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me, it's a picture and it's a thought of torture, it's pain, it's death. You know, Dr. Charles Stanley once said, and he's an incredible communicator of the gospel, he said this, that when people carried their cross, they only carried one beam. Why? Because it was a one-way street. When you carried a cross, you never came back. When you carried the cross, you were literally sentenced to death. It was if, you know, as the people hung, that most of the people would die because of self-suffocation as they would hang on these crosses. It's not a beautiful picture. And when Jesus says this in his day, he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. You know, we get excited about that because we picture the cross of Christ and the blood shed and all of my sin and shame and sorrow hanging on the cross. That's what we picture. But in this time, it was totally different. Now, let's talk about taking up our cross. What is Jesus commanding of us? Here we are 2,000 years later. It's the very command as they had seen. He is literally commanding us to take up our cross by dying to ourselves. Literally dying to what I want, my ways, my thoughts, my will. And literally putting on his way, living in his will, pursuing his heart, living for his thoughts, living in his mercy and his grace. So to deny myself and take up my cross daily is to literally die to self. The people would sometimes see hundreds of crosses lining the roads as people were being crucified. You know, Jesus wasn't the only one that was crucified. He wasn't the only one that ever hung on a cross, but his cross was the only one that mattered because it was victory. It was victory over the enemy that would condemn us to hell forever and ever. And as Jesus commands us to take up our cross, he is literally commanding us to die to self. It's kind of an invitation and a command to die or disobey. You choose. He's not making anyone pick up their cross. He's not coming over to you and saying, if you don't pick up your cross, this is what I'm going to do to you here. He's not saying, hey, you forgot it. Here, put it on now. He's not forcing it upon anyone. You have the freedom. You have the free will and the choice to choose. Am I going to live for Christ? Am I going to deny myself and take up my cross daily and follow him? Or am I going to disobey? Am I going to disobey? Am I going to live for me? Am I going to be all about me, all about my wants, all about my future, all about my money, all about my family, all about me, 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 me? And this morning, I want to just take a few minutes and discuss three things that we see whenever we follow this command. Because whenever I disobey, I'm actually living in disobedience to not take up my cross daily and follow him. And I want to just discuss three things that we see whenever we actually choose to obey this command. To deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow me. And the first term, the first thought, the first truth is opposition. Opposition. I don't think anyone likes the idea of opposition. Anybody like opposition? Tension? Anybody? No? No one likes opposition? Where are all the Facebookers at? There's a lot of opposition-seeking people on Facebook. But we do know those people that love to seek a little bit of opposition, a little bit of argument, a little bit of tension, you know, and their families or in their friends or on their Facebook pages. Like, we do know those people, right? But the majority of us, we actually seek healthy, peaceful relationships. Like, that's not too hard to ask. I mean, that's not too much to ask for, is it? Like, let's just get along. Let's just love each other and let's not oppose each other. And I understand we disagree, but we don't have to, you know, constantly be fighting or arguing, and I don't think we go around looking for any of that. So opposition is not something we go around, you know, just willingly embracing and enjoying and living in and saying, I love opposition, I love it, I love it, I love it. But the reality is this, whenever we choose to take up our cross daily and follow him, we are going to face opposition. It's inevitable. We are going to face opposition. And as much as we are not, you know, going for it, we have to understand that the world will oppose us. And there is a particular passage in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 says this, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. You will be hated, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. See, whenever we look at the idea of facing opposition, we have to look at the example given to us by Christ, because he faced opposition. If he didn't face opposition, he wouldn't have been crucified on a cross. He wouldn't have been, you know, carried and beaten so badly that they could barely recognize him, or some couldn't even recognize him. He wouldn't have been hanging there being mocked, humiliated, and beaten and pierced for our transgressions if he wasn't facing opposition. But as he faced opposition, what we have to look at his example is that he just continued to do what? I mean, like, whenever you think about it, what did he continue to do? He could just continue to go forward, right? I mean, he stayed silent before the people. He remained silent. He remained submitted to the one thing that he had come to do. His purpose was to carry the cross. So it looked a little bit different than this one, but as Jesus was carrying the beam, you know, and he was beaten so badly, and it weighed, you know, a little over 100 pounds. No wonder he needed help carrying it after being beaten so badly and not eating for God only knows how long. Here he is carrying a cross in the face of opposition. And what did he do? He just continued to move forward. He continued to move forward. He continued to move forward. And the reality is that whenever we face opposition, we have to do the very same thing that Jesus did. Because we know when Jesus is telling his disciples here, hey, you're going to be hated. There are going to be, you know, fathers after their children, brother after the brother, family after family, friends after friends. He's like, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. You will be opposed. I don't know if anyone here has faced opposition for your faith, but there will be people who disagree with you because you have faith in Jesus. There will be people who call you stupid because you believe in this fairy tale that God created the heavens and the earth and the entire world in 6 days. You will be made fun of. You may be mocked. You may be tried to, you know, be humiliated by certain people. I'll be honest, I've had friends, I mean, just dead straight to my face tell me I am so foolish to believe in a man carried a cross, died, and then rose from the dead. You know, I'm just a fool. I have faced that opposition. But as Jesus faced opposition, he just continued to carry and he continued to move forward. Because what happens is our obedience to take up our cross leads to opposition, right? I mean, that's what it leads to. However, the promises and the good thing is this. Whenever you face opposition, don't be discouraged, don't be distracted, because the enemy wants to distract you. The enemy wants to discourage you. The enemy wants to distract you by removing your thoughts and your life and your heart from the purpose that God has for you. He wants to distract you with all the things that people say, all of the rumors that you hear, all of the things that they have tried to bring you down with. But if we could just follow the example of Jesus and say, I don't care who says it, I don't care who disagrees, it's one step after another. I'm going to continue to take it up. I'm going to continue to take it up. I'm going to continue to take it up. This is what we find is this. Whenever we obey this command, our obedience leads to opposition. It's going to happen. But it doesn't end in opposition. It actually ends in reconciliation. Because Paul said something pretty interesting in the book of Romans when he said that if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? If the world is against me, that must mean that I'm actually doing something right and I'm living right with God. If the world hates me, that must mean that God cherishes me and looks upon me as a beloved child of God. That must mean I am living for Christ. If the world hates me, that must mean that God is for me. And if God is for me, who could be against me? I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I don't care how bad they blast my name on Facebook because I believe in the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood shed for me. I don't care what they think. I'm going to continue to walk. I'm going to continue to move forward in this walk of faith with Jesus, and I'm actually going to find reconciliation. Because he warns them here, you're going to have opposition. You're going to face persecution. I never thought I would do this in all of my life of preaching. But I'm gonna quote somebody. I've never quoted, and I'll probably never quote again. There's this old rapper. When I was growing up, his name was Lil Wayne. And he had a song, and it was titled, Show Me My Opponent. Anybody, like any 90s kids, remember that song, Show Me My Opponent? Like, I could sing it if I wasn't so holy in this pulpit right now. I would sing that song. But I remember this song. It was titled, Show Me My Opponent. And that's the mentality in which we actually need to walk with. I don't care who it is, because if my God is for me, then who can be against me? I don't care what they say. I don't care what I face, because the reality is that my God is bigger, my God is greater, and my God is stronger than anyone or anything I ever face. So I'm not going to be distracted because of opposition that I face. I don't care about the persecution that I face. I'm going to continue to carry my cross, picking it up every single day and moving forward. And whenever we come to terms with the fact that denying ourselves, taking up our cross is going to lead to opposition. It also leads to the second thought of suffering. Does anybody like to suffer? No? I mean, we don't go around looking for suffering. I mean, no one likes to suffer. And the reality is that we face suffering because of three things. Because of our enemy, the devil. We face suffering at the hand of God himself. Do you believe that? Isn't that crazy that we face suffering by the hand of our Father? We face pruning processes by the hand of our Father. And then for most of us, we face suffering because of poor decision-making or bad habits or toxic relationships. When it comes down to us, it's either attacks of the enemy, it's either at the hand of my Father, or it's either because I'm horrible at making decisions, I'm horrible of giving in to some people or something. So suffering actually comes through three different outlets. It's the enemy, it's God, or it's self-inflicted suffering. And as I was preaching this to myself this week, I couldn't help but to laugh at myself. Do you ever laugh at yourself? I mean, I laugh at myself. Like, I am the funniest preacher in the world. I am. I got the best jokes, the best one-liners, the best sarcasm, probably in the county, I would say. And I would fight any other preacher in the world for it. My sarcasm is out of this world. And my wife loves it. And here I was preaching this week to myself, and I had my notes, and I was preaching it, and as I was preaching it, I put my notes down, and I just started talking about this suffering, 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 and I realized that our submission to taking up our cross will lead to suffering. But can we just laugh at ourselves for a minute? Because we are spoiled Americans. Can we just laugh? I mean, like, we should laugh at ourselves sometimes. Our greatest amount of suffering and opposition is a negative Facebook post about Jesus on Facebook. Like, that is the greatest opposition that we face sometimes, and that's going to cripple us to where we cannot take up our cross. I can't do it anymore. It's too hard. I mean, I understand we suffer at times. We lose people. I get it. We suffer, and we go through difficult seasons of our life. But I mean, if we put it in the grand scheme of things and suffering to suffering, we would sometimes have to laugh at ourselves because the suffering in which we face, and we just think it can't get any worse. It can't. It can't get any worse, and I'm just making fun of myself. It can't get any worse. My life is so hard. Yet I have the freedom and the liberties to go and to buy clothes and to get my eyebrows waxed and all those manly things, you know. Like, I have those freedoms and liberties to do those things. But it just can't get any worse sometimes. Man, I should laugh at myself in the mirror. And here's the other thing. When it comes to suffering, may we not misquote the scriptures when it says that God would never give us more than we could bear. Because whenever we read that text, it's in the passage and it's in the grand scheme of context of temptation of sin. God's not going to tempt us more than we can handle. He's going to provide a way of escape. So let's not tell ourselves he'll never give me more suffering, because there are people in this church who have gone through things, who have lost people, who have lost things, and it was more than you could bear on your own. I mean, you can remember seasons of your life. It was so painful. You didn't know if you would wake up. You didn't know if you could continue on. That is suffering, and I get it. And it's not fun to be in, and we don't ever just go around looking for suffering, and there's many ways that we can suffer, but let's not misquote the scriptures whenever it says that he would never give us more than we can bear, because if that was the case, why would all of the apostles be killed in martyrdom? They were willing to die to self and ultimately die in this life for the gospel of Jesus. And we can't misquote that and say, oh, he'll never give me more. Oh, Sonic didn't have, you know, Coke today, but he'll never give me more. I'll just go down the road. I'll get me a different one. Or he'll never give me more. You know, the sale ended, but I'll have to pay full price for this or full price for that, but he'll never give me more. Like, we are so spoiled in this country. We don't sometimes understand what real suffering is. There are people today, in fact, being ripped away from their families forever because they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people who have been beheaded, who have been stoned to death, who have been thrown off buildings because of their faith in Jesus Christ. That's suffering. And I get it, we will suffer. We will go through difficult seasons. But we need to remember this, that our submission leads to suffering, but it doesn't end in suffering. It actually ends in peace. Did you know that even through the suffering and the seasons of your life, the storms of your life, you can actually have peace? And look at this verse that Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, look, in the world you will have tribulation. In this world you will have trials, you will have hardship, you will have pain, you will have suffering. And he says, it's inevitable, you're going to face it. But look at the very next thing he said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So whenever I choose to take up my cross daily and follow him and I go through any kind of storm or any kind of suffering, yes, it hurts. And yes, in this world, we are going to have this. However, we can take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. Therefore, if my faith is in him, again, my Savior and my God is bigger, stronger, and greater than anything that I will ever face. It doesn't matter if it's sunshine on a cloudy day. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle of a hailstorm. I can continue walking each day, following after him. And it only comes by taking it up in the face of opposition, taking it up as people have walked out on me because of my faith, taking it up because I've had to tell some people no, taking it up because I've suffered for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ, taking it up knowing that one day it will end. One day there will be no more suffering. In the book of Revelation, we get a beautiful picture that there will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more sorrow, no more shame. But it will be beauty. It'll be righteousness. It'll be glory. It'll be life. And it'll be so beautiful we can't even put it into our minds or picture it. We've tried to portray it in movies and we've failed it. We haven't given heaven or God's glory any justice at all. And the reality is that if I choose to submit today, if you choose to submit and say, here I am, Lord, I surrender my heart, I surrender my life, I do choose today to follow you and declare that you are my Lord, and I deny myself and I pick up my cross right now, every day I'm going to pick it up, even though you suffer, even though you face persecution and opposition, the reality is that he has overcome the world, and we can live in peace. And the last one I want to mention is probably the most beautiful thing that we see when it comes to denying ourselves and taking up our cross, and it's death. Death, but not in the death in which you think. In verse 24 in Luke chapter 9, Jesus said, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my name's sake, or for my sake, will save it." And what Jesus is telling us is this. He's like, there's life in one of two places. And there's death in one of two places. You can either save your life and live for yourself right now, or you can die to self now and live in my glory and in my majesty forever and ever. I mean, that's what he says. He says, for whoever would save his life will lose it. If I save my life now, if I live for me, if it's all about me, all about my flesh, my lustly, fleshly, worldly desires, then I'm going to ultimately lose it one day. We're going to either be welcomed into his presence or cast away from him forever and ever. There is no end. But he says, for whoever would save his life will lose it. So whoever will save his life, whoever chooses life now, will actually choose death later. But then he says, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So you choose death now to receive life later. So the reality is that death leads to life. Or the scary reality is that life actually leads to death. If I choose life now, I choose death later. If I choose death now, I choose life later. And the reality is that there are going to be many shocked one day in the presence of him when he says, you didn't know me, you didn't know me, therefore depart. And I just wonder, sometimes if we don't kind of misunderstand ourselves whenever we think we're taking up our cross. But there are some times where it gets so heavy, and the devil and world circumstances and life circumstances, they want us to get to where we just kind of say, you know what, it's really not for me. Like, I love Jesus, and I love going to church, and I love my church family, but this thing gets heavy. It gets heavy. I mean, how am I going to take it up daily and follow him for the rest of my life? It gets heavy. I'm struggling right now financially. I'm struggling in my marriage. I'm struggling finding a job. I'm struggling. Like, how am I going to continue to suffer? Why would I continue to suffer? And I think this is why Jesus would say that right after that. He said, because if you lose it now, I'll save it later. Where do you want to live? I mean, you can live all this life, all 50, 60, 70, 80, maybe even 90 years. But in the grand scheme of things, in the picture of eternity, as the book of James would say, this is just a vapor, it's just a mist. And I don't know if you've ever heard that old song, The Old Rugged Cross. Anybody ever heard that? It's a you know, one of the top three or top five songs in the Christian world. The Old Rugged Cross, where in that song, didn't Randy Travis write that song? Huh? I might be showing my age a little bit there. Or George Strait, one of those guys, I thought wrote that song. I don't know who wrote it. But when they wrote it, they said something in that song. He said, and one day I'll trade it in for a what? A crown. One day I'll trade that old rugged cross for what? A crown. One day, it might be a long time on this earth, and it feels like it's forever, and it feels like I'm struggling, and it feels like life is weighing me down, and it feels like I have no hope to get up, and it feels like I can never move forward. It feels like my marriage may never be where I want it to be. My finances may never be where I really desire, and my family, you know, they're walking out on me because I'm struggling. I'm carrying this thing. I'm trying. I'm picking it up. I'm sacrificing things. I'm denying myself. And it's hard, and it's heavy, and it's difficult with some people and sometimes in some seasons of my life and during certain pains. However, I know the Randy Travis version. And he said, one day I'll trade it in for a crown. That's up to you. You could leave it right here. You could leave that thing right there and live this life all for you. You could do it. You can do it, and you could probably have an extremely beautiful, prosperous, healthy life. But if you want to live forever and ever in the glory and the riches of our God, you better pick this thing up. You better deny yourself. You better take up your cross daily and follow Him. You better put to death your desires, your thoughts, your ways, your will, and follow Him. That's the only way. That's the only way. In order for me to put the cross down and receive a crown, that must mean I have to be carrying the cross at one point. So in order to trade in the cross for a crown, I have to have something in my hands. But if we aren't willing to pick it up, we'll never be able to receive the beautiful gift of a crown from our Savior Jesus Christ as He places it on top of our heads one day. It's up to you. And what I want to do is I want us to pray together. And I don't know if everyone here is truly following Jesus. I don't know who or where your heart really lies. I don't. I know where my wife lies sometimes, and it's not that great. Maybe because she has to be married to me. But I don't know where your heart really is. But I want you to have an opportunity to understand what the Bible says. The Bible says that if we would believe in Him, if we would confess with our mouths that He is Lord and believe in our hearts that He was risen from the dead, if we would put our faith and our trust in Him, if we would call upon the name of the Lord, if we would ask for our forgiveness and repent of our sin, if we would turn away, and as Peter says in the book of Acts chapter 2, if we would be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, we would surely be saved. Call upon Him. Repent of my sins. Put my faith and trust in Him. Pick up my cross. I don't know where you are today, but I want to have an opportunity as a church for you to declare today, for the first time maybe, that you're going to choose to follow Jesus. Maybe you've lived for Jesus before, you know, years ago you were baptized and on fire and life circumstances came, and maybe your heart's a little hardened right now. I don't know where it is, but I want you to have an opportunity right now to just simply pray and call upon the name of the Lord. And as we pray and as we worship one last time, I don't want anyone to stand up, if you don't mind, during this last song. I don't want anyone to stand up. I just said I don't want anyone to stand up. No, I'm just kidding. But what I want us to do is I want to take this moment and to just simply, as a church, bow our heads, pray, and close our eyes, bow our heads, and say aloud just a short prayer. Because there may be someone here who says, okay, today is the day. I recognize I've lived for me. I want to choose to live for Him. I want to follow Him. I'm going to follow His teaching and His word, and I'm going to obey Him by believing, by repenting. I'm going to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Like, I'm going to start everything today. I choose today. And if there's just one that says that, or if maybe if there's just one that says, okay, I haven't been doing it very well, but I'm going to recommit. This is my day of a new life. I just want everyone, if you could, just repeat a prayer after me. If you feel uncomfortable doing it, then it's nothing going to intentionally target anything. It's just a general prayer of asking God for His mercy and His grace. If you would, just repeat after me with every head bowed, every eyes closed. Father, forgive us of our sins. In the name of Jesus, set us free. We believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we believe in Him we have new life. Create in me a new heart, a new life. I declare today to choose and follow Jesus. And I just want to ask, with every head bowed and every eyes closed still, if you said that for the first time, or maybe if you're recommitting, would you just raise your hand? There ain't nobody looking. If you choose today to recommit or follow, would you just raise the hand, or you could just nudge your elbow up. And today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of recommitting. Today is the day of life. Today is the day. And with every head bowed, every eyes closed, right where you still are, I want us to just listen to the words of this song. Allow it to pierce our hearts. And if you want to pray, you can pray right where you are. You can come to an altar. Because as every head was bowed and every eye was closed, what you all didn't see were there was hands raised. And if you want to pray on an altar, you can pray on an altar. You can pray right where you are. But I want us to just spend this moment to truly worship Him with all of our heart and all of our mind as we call upon Him. And just listen to the words of this song. Remember the beauty of the cross.